Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. I should mention, after Deputy Mayor Goldsmith was on, that tomorrow's guests will include the outgoing New York City Schools Chancellor, Joel Klein. We've interviewed him many times over the years, so we will do an exit interview with Joel Klein to start off tomorrow morning's show. And the Deputy Mayor really did like the suggestions that many of you were calling in with or reading. I was reading from our comments page for how the city could save some money. So keep posting them. And his office says that they will, you know, take a look at the link. We'll send them the link from our website. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show and help save New York City money in these tough times. Post any suggestion for how New York City can save money at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And you know it will be read, at very least, in City Hall. And then they'll decide whether they want to act on it. But at very least, it will be read. So your suggestions for saving the city money at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Well, we know we are in the digital age, and for some people that is for better, and for some it is for worse. It has revolutionized the news industry, the music industry. Now it's changing everything we know about the advertising industry. And for the past half century, the practice of advertising remained relatively unchanged, but that is until now. Suddenly, the ability to customize a specific message to a specific person at a specific time is possible. The internet and the explosion of platforms like the iPad and mobile apps, while providing more ways to reach consumers, have created a complicated new world for advertisers, leaving their very existence in question in many cases. And this is an important question for one of New York's major industries. Danielle Sachs is a senior writer at Fast Company magazine. She interviewed over 100 people in the advertising world to see how the industry has changed and how to best map out its future, and she joins us now. Hi, Danielle. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
So talking about the digital revolution and its impact on the advertising industry, you quote one executive as saying, there's never been a better time to be in advertising, and there's never been a worse time. Can you unpack that?
Exactly. Well, as you pointed out, in many ways, the explosion of digital media means that there's sort of infinite number of ways to reach consumers. But the problem is that because there are so many choices, it can be completely overwhelming for a CMO to figure out how to actually do that. And there are sort of two different levels. There's the creative output, but there's also the economic output. And creatively, and both economically, ad agencies are built around the television spot, sort of the old world, the Mad Men world of lazy marketing. And what this means is that their business models historically have been based on that 15% commission. So they're not only built to create that one level of output, but actually their economics are dependent on that. And so the challenge for them is now is, how do I create more work to feed more channels that's way more complicated for a much lower cost?
Right. And the problem is, I guess, or one of the central problems is that the audience has fractured so much. So instead of having so many millions of people sitting around watching primetime television, and you can reach everybody that way, you have some people at the computer and some people on an iPad, and each of these come with smaller audiences, but audiences that need to be reached in unique ways.
Exactly. And I mean, historically, it's been a very controlled one-way message. And now the opportunity here, we're talking about, you know, the possibility of a creative revolution. Historically, looking back at the advertising industry, every new medium that has emerged has sort of brought with it a new kind of creative output for advertising. So when radio came along after print and when television came along after radio, the incredible thing about digital is that it's sort of an infinite medium. It's not just a sense of just one channel, but the fact that every day we're seeing new mediums emerge. And in many ways, that means what the actual craft of advertising is changing. It's not just a 30-second spot. advertising in this world means it could be something that's sort of just a conversation on Twitter. There have been some really fascinating examples. Zappos, the online shoe retailer, has been really wonderful at that, where basically it's sort of like customer service 2.0 is the new advertising. So, for example, if you see someone on Twitter saying, you know, I tried to find this pair of shoes at Zappos, they don't have it, and then suddenly someone from Zappos is sort of monitoring Twitter and intercepts that person and just says, hey, John, we're really sorry you couldn't find it at Zappos, but here's a place you can find it. And that moment can be a magical moment where you create sort of a lifetime customer. At the same time, it's a minefield, because when you have a two-way conversation, there's so much more opportunity to kind of rub consumers the wrong way. A couple years ago, there was an incident with Motrin where they came out with an ad that basically was targeted towards moms who had baby slings and were saying, oh, moms, you know, you probably are in a lot of back pain. We're here to help you. Well, the mommy bloggers is sort of a very vibrant group of bloggers, and it really rubbed them the wrong way. Well, before you knew it, there was an entire category on Twitter that was emerging called Motrin Moms. Mm-hmm. There were videos being uploaded on YouTube sort of against it. Motrin had to issue an apology, and they took down their website. So there's sort of incredible potential as well as incredible danger in a very different, uncontrolled world that advertisers are used to.
We took calls on the show from Motrin Moms at the time. Is that why you used the word lazy before? You said the old-style lazy marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the lazy marketing is the fact, if you look at how advertising is traditionally created, you know, okay, great, you have one, you're creating one 30-second spot, we'll send our creative director and our all the creatives from the agency out to L.A., they'll camp out there for a few weeks, they'll shoot one commercial, and it'll be at a prepaid slot that the media planners have bought, and it just goes out to the universe, and on the day of the Super Bowl, we have millions and millions of people watching it. Now, not only has that been fragmented into millions of pieces, but the fact is there's so much inefficiency in the way that advertising agencies are structured, and you're seeing new startups emerge. One of them that I wrote about is called Genius Rocket, which basically strips all of the inefficiency and really all the glamour, the whole culture that we've seen so vividly in shows like Mad Men. And it's really stripped it down to its core. And basically what companies like Genius Rocket says is, instead of turning to an ad agency, we're just going to turn to the world. And the advertisers like Kraft and Pepsi have used them, where they basically put a creative brief online. You could be a mom in Kentucky. You could be a programmer in Switzerland. And you could submit some kind of advertising output and get paid a few thousand dollars, and Kraft then owns it, versus Kraft paying a traditional Madison Avenue shop millions and millions of dollars to shoot one spot. So we're really seeing sort of a whole new generation of competition mm-hmm. emerging at this incredible moment that may very well be the ad agency's moment to lose.
So we've only got about 5 minutes for this call out. But listeners, if you feel that you are in the new advertising industry, call us up and tell us what you do. If you are not the old lazy marketer, but if you're, you know, a Genius Rocket type who does advertising in a new way, maybe you don't work for one of the old line New York advertising agencies, or maybe you do and do it within that context, call us up and tell us what you do. Just give us a quick, like, 30-second example. Since you're marketers, you better be able to do it in 30 seconds. A quick 30-second example of what you do in the new advertising industry, if anybody like that happens to be listening right now. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Like I said, we've only got about 5 minutes for this, but that means we'll put you right on the air. 212-433-9692 if you are a new marketer who probably doesn't sound much like this.
I bet daily friendship with that bottle attracts more people to advertising than any salary you could dream of.
That's why I got in.
So enjoy it.
Doing my best here.
Oh, you're not. You don't know how to drink, your whole generation. You drink for the wrong reasons. My generation, we drink because it's good. Because it feels better than unbuttoning your collar. Because we deserve it. We drink because it's what men do.
That, of course, from Mad Men. And Danielle, you know, I'll bet that show is helping to bury the old advertising agency along with the changing marketplace. It's not exactly a nostalgia show.
Interesting, because I'm a huge, huge fan of the show, and as somebody who considers myself sort of an advertising junkie in the sense that I'm really interested in the culture and the history of advertising, it's amazing because when you talk to people in the industry, most of them claim either they don't watch the show or they don't like the show, and you would think something that's such an homage to what they do would be embraced, but it very well may be that it sort of does represent the old world, and they
and
feel like that's what they're trying to shed.
And doesn't paint it in the most flattering light either.
No.
Mac in Brooklyn. Hi, Mac. What do you do?
Hi, I'm an artist, and I've worked in the advertising. I'm an animator and a bunch of advertising agencies as well. Telling the screener, I think what this new age offers is sort of a new abusive opportunity for advertising agencies, frankly, to leverage the opportunity for exposure for content, you know, these contests. Hey, your ad can be on, you know, whatever, fidelity.com. And then so you got all these people who want that exposure, that opportunity.
So they don't have to actually hire you.
No, and I tell you, Brian, in, you know, 15 years, I got 15 years, I got 4 Emmys, and I've never been called back once in any one of those contests.
Huh.
So I'm going to stop doing them, obviously, but the whole thing is like the first one's free. It's like drug dealing. I mean, it's, you know, not that dissimilar.
And if you have a hit, if they accept it and you have a hit, then you get paid.
No. Then you've won the opportunity to say, hey, like call you and be like, Brian, I got this ad on. I got to make an ad. That's what you win. You win the opportunity to have given them something.
To have done one freelance gig.
Yes, and not even gotten paid for it.
Mac, thank you very much. David in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. David, what do you do?
Hi, I'm Senior Director of Emerging Media and Innovation at a digital ad agency here, 360i.
And?
So just wanted to share that I'm just part of this whole transition where it's this really strange focus on social and mobile and all these new channels are becoming a really big part of it.
What's your most contemporary approach to reaching people via mobile?
Via mobile, I think, you know, just location is really fascinating right now. So a lot of this, you know, we're just trying to figure out how to connect those online and offline worlds, and mobile is presenting some great ways to do that.
All right. Thank you very much. Danielle, how about that first caller? That's a real pitfall.
Yeah.
That's real, what he talks about, right? The jobs are going away, and instead it's these competitions and contests, and people feel exploited without any even much of an opportunity.
Definitely. And I think, you know, he brings up a great point, which is that crowdsourcing has definitely become a very vilified term in the industry. And when I bring up companies like Genius Rocket, it's sort of just to show the contrast of the old world and one of the many different types of kind of disruptors and people who are trying to commoditize what's been seen as a, you know, a talent and a career. And I think there has been those crowdsourcing companies are trying to become more sophisticated and more respectful of the people who are submitting to those things, so people aren't just doing a bunch of work for free.
Tony in Midtown, what do you do?
Hi, I'm the technology director for Condé Nast Studio.
Uh-huh.
We're working on getting all of our magazines like Glamour, GQ, Wired Magazine on the iPad and on the Android platforms, and I work in the advertising section.
How different is it to get them on the iPad, which is, you know, a little bigger than something like the Android or any other phone?
One of our challenges is since you can view the magazines in portrait mode and landscape mode, we have to make 2 versions of every single advertisement, depending on how the person's using the device.
Mm-hmm.
And we also try to make all of the advertisements interactive, so you can touch and swipe the advertisement, zoom in. We've even done 3D models where you can swipe and spin a model around.
Tony, thank you very much. It sounds, you know, kind of borderline. I don't know. That's another show. But it, that's the exact challenge you were talking about before, Danielle, right? Making things two-way. And so it's up to the designer of the ad not just to put it out there, but to figure out how people can interact with it.
Right, and that actually also raises a really interesting issue around talent in the industry. You mentioned earlier that a lot of people are panicking, and one of the points I make in the story is that, you know, it used to be that having on your resume years at BBDO or other big traditional Madison Avenue shops was sort of an asset. And increasingly, agencies want to hire people who have worked at Google or people who have worked at Xbox. And it's because the craft is changing so much. In many ways, they want people who don't just know how to tell stories, but people who actually know how to make things. And whether that's making an app or making something that looks resembles more like a product and gets more into the space of product development, the whole talent pool is starting to shift. And in the story, I spend time at this Swedish school that has come to the U.S. called Hyper Island that is basically trying to help people in the industry sort of evolve how they do what they do.
So your advice to young people looking to enter the advertising world today?
My advice is that the only constant we know about as far as the future of advertising is that it's going to continue to change at the rate of Moore's Law. And so the best thing you can do is to constantly learn and adapt and be as sort of agile as you possibly can.
Danielle Sachs, senior writer at Fast Company. She interviewed over 100 people in the advertising world to write this article on the future and change in advertising. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will finish up today with the really depressing news of the morning. Our business editor, Charlie Herman, will be here to talk about the rising cost of chocolate and coffee. Stay with us.